Good afternoon, and welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And free advertisement of the week is going again to Iron Hand Liniment. It's a 4-ounce bottle. Spray it on. You can find it at ReddingSportsLTD.com, or just go there. They're on Hilltop Drive if you live in Redding. And seriously, anybody who has repetitive motion injuries, workout injuries, and my claim to fame on this stuff is stupid tennis elbow. It's just a ligament thing, and it's just insanely painful. Keeps you awake at night. You wear the brace on your arm, and you do all these things. You go to the chiropractor. So this is part of a whole bunch of things. It's not the only thing I'm doing, but it has absolutely made a massive difference on the pain side. So you should get some of that. It's also really good after you haul bushes up from your backyard and you're hurting. Muscles are hurting. I have a lot of people who do martial arts and that kind of thing who swear by it. So Iron Hand Liniment, you can find it at Redding Sports LTD or ReddingSportsLTD.com. And now back to our previously scheduled program with our engineer slash guest slash editor, film editor. You don't call it movie editor. You're a film editor, aren't you?
It's digital now, so.
Oh, digital film editor. Yeah, the rest of us plebes out here, we're like, he's a movie editor. No, don't do that. And I had read your bio in the previous hour, but I thought it was also interesting. I forgot to tell you I was going to ask you.
Oh, no problem. Go ahead.
But you sent it to me, so, this, and I don't know if Bill even read this part, but after a 5-year, this is what he tells me. I'll read it straight, and then you see if you have questions, Bill. After a 5-year stint in Los Angeles as a personal stylist and women's shoe specialist for Macy's Century City, God, I was going to read it just like I wasn't laughing. He accepted a position in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with movie company Spiro Pictures. But this was, we're going to go back to the shoes, but created over 400 pieces of content with them, including social media marketing for the Angel Studios movie, The Sound of Freedom.
Yeah.
I read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It was cool.
God, that was a great movie, and, the marketing was spectacular.
Yeah. Well, we didn't the marketing, but we did a chunk of the social media marketing.
No, I mean, the social media marketing was really good.
Yeah.
Actually, it was everywhere.
Yeah.
So, kudos to you. So now back to the shoes. What's going on there?
When I moved to Reading in 2009.
Where we don't really have women's
from
shoes.
From Nashville, yeah. And so, my day job was Macy's over here in Chatham Mall. And I moved quickly into women's shoes because that's a commission department, or at least it was back then.
It was the money, not the feet.
Yeah. Customer service. I love customer
service. It was customer service.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the best compliments and most consistent compliments I got from women is like, he's a man. And he's multitasking.
You are good at multitasking.
I can be on two registers and on the phone and, ringing up shoes at the same time.
So. See, I just like Alex fashion sense because it's always a black shirt and jeans, just like me.
Yeah.
Alex and I could be twins. We're like siblings from different parents.
So, yeah, I knew at some point I wanted to move to Los Angeles, so I went down and scoped out which store I wanted to transfer to. So Century City was the most modern store back in 2017.
Yeah.
And it was in a Westfield shopping center that had one of the most state-of-the-art movie theaters. So I could finish work, go to the movies, and it was awesome. And I worked there for a solid 2.5 years, then lockdown happened. So for 2 years
no one needed shoes, they just had slippers.
I got paid by the government to drink whiskey and play video games. So
you didn't even have the same taste in beverages.
Yeah, exactly.
You said wine, I was gonna be disappointed and sad, but
So I did that for a while and then moved to Tulsa. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's the story.
That's funny. Yeah, I read that. Women's shoe specialist, go back. What? He did what?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty fun. The things we do in life to make a living, huh?
Yeah.
So, back to our topic here, the enemy within movie. And seriously, not to just bury the lead here, but a lot of times if people have, if you have Amazon Prime, I think it's $11.99 to watch the series.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like 3 hours of really good, just shy of 3 hours, really good content. You're really going to like it. I would just really encourage you to go watch it.
It's, yeah, if you're a news buff or a political buff,
you were alive in the last 10 years.
Time travel here and watch this and try to figure out what the heck's going on.
It's amazing. It made sense. We were talking on the break about the book that Greg Jarrett wrote about the Russia collusion thing. I can't remember. Is it the Russia hoax?
They're calling it Russian collusion hoax now. It was originally called the Steele dossier.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, Greg Jarrett, his book about that, when it came out, I thought, we all followed this thing, blah, 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 same stuff, different day. I'm not sure I want to really read. But, you know, this movie does what that book did. Takes all those things that we found, like, we learned this, and we learned this, and we learned this, but we never learned any of it in real time.
Yeah.
This happened 2 years ago. This happened 6 months ago. This must have happened 5 years ago. It's all really jumbled up. And so when someone takes it, like in a book or a film, and then puts it all in order, all of a sudden the light bulb goes on, and it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, all the pieces are on the table.
Well, you feel kind of like a dum-dum because it's like, well, this was easy to prove. But at the time, it was not easy to prove.
Yeah.
Because all the facts were not there. Were you super surprised at what was going on?
Well, and like laying all those pieces
down,
finding all that information.
Yeah, as you put the whole timeline together.
I definitely learned a lot. I mean, I had to look up all kinds of Trump speeches, and I found some very funny footage of him that at the.
Gosh, I would imagine that pile was very deep.
I can't remember the dinner that they have. Like they had an annual dinner in Washington, okay. And everybody's there: news people, politicians,
state or the. Media dinner,
No, it's a different one, but I can't.
All right.
I can't remember. Anyway, but so Trump and Hillary had just had their explosive debate where he kind of wiped the floor with her.
Oh, yeah, kind of.
And they were both at the same dinner. And Hillary's sitting to the left of the podium, Trump's to the right. And it's kind of like a roast, you know.
Yeah.
Stand up and then. Clinton gets up. I'm sorry. Trump gets up, and I want to make sure I get this right. you know, she had a book called "It Takes a Village," and yeah. Trump's roasting her, and he's like, "We all know that Hillary says it takes a village, and she's done that several times in Haiti." And so, like,
ow.
Yeah, and so it's like, wow.
It's like, but
just watching that whole roast, like for 20 or 30 minutes, that's great comedy. But yeah, I learned a lot from, you know, hearing that stuff. I even watched, Trump was roasted on Comedy Central back in 2012.
Oh, wow.
And we even talked about him possibly running for president way back then. And if you listen to, cause you know, they get up and they roast you and then you get up at the end and, kind of kick it all back to them. Even then, it sounded like a Trump rally because he talked about borders and he talked about tariffs and he talked about Venezuela. And,
oh, really?
And then he didn't really do much roasting. He just got up there and talked about that.
Policy.
Yeah, and that was 2012 of all.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, when he talks about there are 40 generals who support me, in my candidacy, he was saying this during the Republican debates for the primary. You know, during Obama's administration, this is the story that General Michael Flynn tells, and it's not in the documentary. He's like, at one point, 40 generals were going to go arrest Obama in office and have kind of a military police state until whatever garbage Obama, they had to clean up, could be resolved and have a, what do they call it, a referendum election or,
okay,
you know,
yeah.
And Trump had been on the radar with several of these generals, and they, instead of busting in and taking Obama out of the office, they asked Trump to run. So even a lot of Trump being kind of ushered in
yeah.
and put on the ticket. I mean, a lot of that was taught yep. military design.
Some of that
design.
Was inside.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
People who were looking for somebody to come in and, like, stop the Madison, clean it up a little bit.
For sure. 100%.
Like, well, let's find someone who, like, has no feelings and doesn't mind being, you know, hammered day in and
oh,
day
yeah.
out. And someone who, you know, sleeps in 20-minute segments and, yeah.
A businessman, not a politician.
Yeah,
well,
and that too.
A perfect person for president.
Well, he was a total outsider, too.
Yeah.
And that,
but he was inside enough that he knew the players and he knew the problem. So he wasn't so outside. He was outside to the point, though, where he didn't see... He wasn't able to identify all the bad guys at the beginning, like we were talking about.
Right.
Brennan and Clapper, and those guys were still there when he got in.
I kind of think some of his strategy is keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Yeah.
So he could keep tabs on what they were doing and then kick them out or fire them. There is a movie that came out last year called The Apprentice. And
oh, yeah.
I think it was kind of created to be a smear movie on Trump, but it makes him look like a genius. So, but some of the things...
Oops,
I'm like rubber, you're like glue, bounces off me and sticks to you.
He had actually worked with the FBI for decades. He was trying to clean up... I can't think of it. New Jersey Gambling District. I can't think of the name of the city. But Trump had a hotel with a casino, and somehow he had worked it out with the local politicians that his casino could be the only one with gambling. So you had the mafia and in town with the other casinos, but they couldn't offer gambling in their establishments. And what Trump actually did is he invited the FBI in to have a field office in the hotel that no one knew about. And that's where all the busts happened in the late 80s, early 90s. With all the mafia guys, because Trump would invite them in, you know.
And the FBI was like literally sitting in there.
Listening to everything that they were talking about. Coincidentally, or like on the opposite of that, the mafia did the same thing to Trump in Vegas. So Trump Hotel is the only one that doesn't offer gambling because the mafia turned the tables on that whole strategy. So all that is to say, he's helped solve crime and bring things down in the past. So I don't think, you know, cleaning up what's happened over the past 12 years is a new
thing. It's not
a
new project. That's
exactly.
Interesting. Well, that would be could you imagine the docuseries on all that?
Yeah.
Part number 75.
Yeah, well, Trump's mentor is the same, I can't think of his name right now, with the law. His attorney in New York that got great deals for him on buildings and cut the red tape on, you know, regulations and all that kind of stuff. He's portrayed in The Apprentice. And he would tell Trump, I don't need to know what the law is. I need to know who the judge is. And so, and you actually hear Trump talk about that stuff, like that judge is a loser or whatever. And so I'm like, well, that's where it came from. Yeah.
Interesting.
But you and
Roy Cohen.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Ha.
Yeah, he was also...
You talk, I'll look stuff up. Usually we do it the other way around. Today, I'm you.
Yeah, he was involved. Cohen was involved in what major court case is it there?
Oh, I just shut my bad.
Oh, God. During the hearings way back in the 50s about the communism scare. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, and Rosenberg. Yep.
Yep.
Julius and Ethel Rosenberg trials in 52 and 53 and McCarthy.
Blacklisting.
Yeah, so that was Trump's attorney.
Yeah.
Yeah, he passed away a couple of years ago. But, and it's the kind of thing where I can see kind of a parallel between Moses and Trump in that he grew up in the bad guy's house. So he knows how they think, and that, I mean that metaphorically.
Yeah, yeah.
But Roy Cohen was kind of a oily, sleazy guy, but he knew how to finagle.
But he knew how it worked.
He knew how to work the press, you know, and Trump would even, when he was in New York, call up the press as Trump's assistant and say, hey, did you hear about what's going on with Trump? Blah, blah, blah. As if it's dirt, but it's really Trump planning his own stories in the press. And so he's running his positive press and press. And once again, you see that happening these days. And the press doesn't even know what to do about it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, when you're laying all those pieces out, in retrospect, they all make sense and have a clear story.
But sometimes at the time, yeah, it all seems a little spread out.
Yeah.
So go to the origins of this Russia collusion with Patrick Byrne and what he told you about the Russian gal. He was supposed to just meet with her. It seemed at the beginning it wasn't supposed to be a love interest. It was supposed to be what were they supposed to be doing?
Well, when she first introduced herself to him,
right,
she represented herself as a weapons enthusiast, and Patrick Byrne wasn't impressed at all by that. He didn't know who she was. The government, he calls them the Men in Black in the movie. They hadn't approached him yet to string her along and see what was going on. And it was her suggestion that they appear to be lovers.
Oh, that's
right. As a cover, like a couple.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was her idea.
That was her idea.
And so the feds, when they came to Patrick, they said, find out what she knows, you know, be this love interest. And they were an item for several years. The feds had come to Patrick before because he was an expert on blockchain and Bitcoin as it was coming up, a big advocate. That's why he was at Freedom Fest to talk about blockchain.
He was like involved in everything.
So he would get invited to different countries as keynote speakers and like expert. And so he went to China several times and he speaks fluent Chinese. So the feds would come to him and say, hey, while you're in China, find this out for us or talk to this person and see what's on the rise, that kind of stuff. So he had been approached before. Now, on any movie set, you're going to have like cliques of people, like the director, producer, the talent, the financiers. They'll all sit at the same table and have lunch.
It's like junior high.
It's exactly like junior high. While the nerds, the camera operators and the PAs and whoever, you know, the admin people, they're all sitting at the same table. And we're hearing this story come out. And I remember talking to the director of photography and I was like, there's no way this guy isn't like a government agent of some sort. Patrick Byrne. He has to be CIA or something because...
How does he have all this weird access? And
yeah, I mean, he's involved in so many things. I mean, government work.
Yeah.
This stuff a business guy wouldn't be involved in. I mean, he actually testified at the January 6th trials. Why? What does he know? Was he in Washington when that happened? I mean, it all sounded a little too suspicious. Or that the story was made up, like... All this can't be real and true. How is he still here in the room talking to us?
If he was involved in all this. And you guys, this is all taking place in 2023.
March is when we started production.
So.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. 2024. March 2024.
Okay. Yeah. And so you guys, we should probably take a break.
Yeah, we can do that.
Nobody's watching the clock. we're all just chit-chatting.
Just chatting away here.
We need supervision. We've abdicated on supervision. All right, so I'll be the fun killer. The story is about the docu-thriller, I think. I like that best. Docu-series sounds like blah, blah, blah. Docu-thriller is good. About Patrick Byrne, based on one of his books, but it is called The Enemy Within, and you can find that at, what is it? TheEnemyWithin.movie,
yep.
Right? And, yeah, you can find it on Amazon Prime and all sorts of stuff. And you can find it on our website at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Physical.
Gosh, should we talk about Maria Butina?
Yeah, great intro.
Is that what we're talking about? Maria Butina, the musical? So let's see. It says here in trusty Wikipedia, we have some quotes around that.
Yep.
Born November 10th, 1988, as a Russian politician, political activist, journalist, and former entrepreneur who was convicted in 2018 of acting as an unregistered foreign agent of Russia with the United States. So she's got quite the long and varied history. Let's see. She worked as an assistant for Alexander Toroskin, a former member of the Federation Council, member of Vladimir Putin's United Russia Party, deputy governor of the Central Bank of Russia. And in that role, she tried to infiltrate conservative groups in the U.S., including the National Rifle Association, as part of an effort to promote Russian interest in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Senate Intelligence Committee later concluded that she attempted to persuade the Trump campaign to establish a secret communication back channel with Russia. Hence the quotes around Wikipedia.
At age 27.
Yeah. Right? Right?
Very,
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Kids come from Russia all the time and then, like, you know, really just take over the American government.
And partner with the National Rifle Association.
Right.
Friends with Putin.
Friends with Putin. Yep. Sleepovers with diplomats, et cetera. So, were you familiar with her whole story? I mean, how much of this was like, what the heck, as you were doing the research?
I didn't even know her name. And, you know, trying to find information about her.
Yeah.
There is a social media app in Russia that's like the Russian equivalent of Twitter.
Okay.
And it's called VK. So I had to set up a Russian profile of myself.
VK Alex.
On VK. Alex, yeah. And I scrubbed her entire feed. And for someone who would be a secret agent, she's certainly posted a lot of selfies of herself in places that you wouldn't want a secret agent to know, you know, where they were and what they were doing.
Ah.
So that's why her story sounded a little kooky. I'm like, no secret agent's going to walk around with a high profile on social media.
Shouldn't, really.
And her story seems too, curated.
But then you're looking at the story from Patrick Byrne,
yep.
And you're like, how could this guy be all these different places?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, he did speak at a lot of places, and he was a CEO of a $2 billion company.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can kind of get
that. He
did
have some horsepower.
But, yeah.
And he wasn't 27.
No. No, he was 53 at the time.
My apologies to all the people who were 27.
But she has since gotten involved in Russian politics, which is kind of interesting that she was able to climb right into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2021 she was elected.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of Russian Congress.
Yeah. The State Duma.
And I have no idea what she's doing these days.
Neither does Wikipedia, because they stopped right there.
We have the same thing with the VK app. There was a big chunk of time missing, just not there. So for someone who was very high profile with selfies and then nothing for like 18 months, red flag, obviously. But, you know, it just seemed odd. It just seemed really odd. So I'm like, what was on there that we can't find? It was nuts.
Well, it's funny.
She was also in prison, so.
Yeah, then there was that. It's funny, though, because in this bio, I was reading down under the Republican Party, so here's all the nefarious stuff. She attempted to develop ties to conservative American politics. blah, blah, blah. It goes on with just some boring stuff. And then she had a connection between Team Trump and Russia in order to gain access to high-level contacts in Washington. Da, 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 da. At the 2014 NRA annual meeting, are you ready for this? Bombshell from Wikipedia. Butina took pictures with Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal,
mm-hmm.
forgot about him actually,
yeah.
And former U.S. Senator and 2012 presidential candidate Rick Santorum.
Yes. I think,
That's like, is this news?
I think there's that picture with Rick in the documentary because she kind of quote unquote dated him for a while before.
Made it look like that was a big thing?
Yeah. Well, it was a
or it was
a
thing?
Well known. I mean, in Washington circles, I don't know that it became big news then until.
But I mean, that doesn't give her access to the government.
No,
that's not exactly cracking the code on Fort Knox there.
All the footage and everything I found on her,
yeah.
She didn't seem like the kind of person that would know how to be a secret agent, because she was way too social and going around meeting people and kind of
immature.
And very immature. That is exactly the way she was acting.
Good job, Bill.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, so it's like, and I don't, no one really knew exactly what she was trying to do other than what you just read from trusty Wikipedia. So trying to, you know, I would just pull everything I could about her.
Sure.
And let the director
figure out how to you guys together. Sort it.
Now, there's no interviews with her in the movie, but the producer and director did interview her for information.
Just not on camera.
Right. And they had to get some photos from her, too, that only she would have. You know, allegedly, when Patrick broke things off with Maria, he wanted her to be safe. He was generally concerned about her well-being, but he was just kind of cold. You know, just kind of like broke it off, no phone call, nothing like that. And then Byrne actually dropped out of the picture for a time period because he thought his life was in danger. And, you know, being a 3-time cancer survivor, he thought the reason the feds are asking me to do all this stuff is I might die any time.
Oh.
And,
he would create his own, his own Hillary moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't remember if he said this in the documentary, but I just remembered this. He was told by the feds, you know, we make people into billionaires overnight and, if you want to do more work for us, you're set. You don't have to worry about it. And he was telling his mom this, and his mom was like, you said no, right? Because I would totally disown you and never talk to you again. And he said it didn't occur to him that he could have actually taken that deal. Like, there was no question in his mind that he would do that or say that. Anyway.
And that was used as so here we'll make you a legitimate prop.
Yeah, exactly.
We can turn you into a legitimate prop.
Exactly. And you don't have to worry about anything. Just do what we ask you to do and you're set for life. And that is a good transition into, let me pull this clip really quick. This was 2 weeks ago on the Emerald Robertson podcast where Patrick Byrne, should have set this up. Where is it?
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah,
Bill?
Yeah.
Bill,
yeah.
What do you got?
Here we go.
Oh, darn.
So here's the clip from Emerald Robinson where Patrick Byrne states that he's been FBI since...
CIA.
Yeah, CIA.
You know, I've refrained all I could from doing this. All I could. I explored every other avenue I could. But we're facing an insurrection. We have this going on. I have no choice. First thing to tell you is, you know how I've explained all these years, I've had this weird relationship with the government, and it was like intellectual, and my bright red line was the CIA, and I had nothing to do with them. That's all a lie. I'm CIA. I was CIA for years. After 9/11, I did have that academic relationship with the government for years. After 9/11, I got pulled up into the CIA. I worked for them, and here's the key point. In 2006, so you can look this up in the Director of Operations, something called the National Resource Division. In 2006, they took me to lunch and said, you've done such nice work for us in the NRD. We want to move you into this high-speed group. I said, fine. From 06 forward, I did other stuff. The woman who took me to lunch turns out to be John Brennan's number two. So I was working for John Brennan from 06 forward. Without knowing it. So, screw you, CIA.
Yeah, so then it comes out that, you know, most of that story that's in the docuseries, that was all a lie.
Right. So, like, he wasn't just being, they weren't just contacting him in a parking lot out of the thin air.
Yeah.
He was actually working for them.
And he said he did other things for him, but nobody knows what those other things were. I do know that he, Sidney Powell, and Michael Flynn had a think tank, cyber think tank, because there was a big major hack that happened, where 425 of the Fortune 500 companies were all hacked on the same day. That was, something with SolarWinds, I think is what they called
it. Oh, yeah.
The big, huge hack. So he was, with them investigating this, but also doing work on, voting integrity. But yeah, that, and because he was an expert in, you know, in, what's called, spaghetti code. That's when you pour through all kinds of code and piece it all together because things
kind
are
kind of like his life
fragmented.
Story.
Yeah, exactly.
The spaghetti bio.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so, I'm like, well, I kind of knew it. And, the thing is,
well, at the very least, you suspected it at the time because it was like, wait a second.
Sounded too good
to be
true.
Yeah, some of that stuff, yeah, it just doesn't happen like that. I mean, there had to be more to it to have those kind of connections.
Exactly, exactly. But the one thing I can say is the years that he was speaking and doing television interviews, he was speaking at this Reawaken conference, his story never changed. It never, ever changed. He wouldn't mention people's names until he felt it was safe for him to do that, but that's the only thing he had to his story. So a lot of people really believed him because his story never changed. And the, you know, the way events went down chronologically, he never changed any of that. It was all solid and not embellished, you know?
Yeah.
And it, having a photographic memory and
that makes
being,
perfect
and
sense.
Being on the spectrum, you're not going to really deviate from your story. It wouldn't make any sense. He even uses the analogy, you know, it was hard for him to play kickball in school because the way his brain works is like if the ball's on the other side of the line, you're out. But that would get fudged every now and then, and he couldn't deal with stuff
that's
like
right.
that.
That's right. I forgot about that. He did. He said that
he kind of freaked out.
He would freak out and melt down because...
yeah.
And I was like, yeah, we all know kids like that, or we're kids like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, that's against the rules.
Yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, you're getting pummeled. It's like, yeah, keep playing. Run. I might have had one of those kids in my house. Funny how that is. Well, so when you heard him, so this is her thing. This comes off of this, The Absolute Truth with Emerald Robinson.
Right.
Yeah. So when you heard that he actually, that whole time he was in the CIA,
yeah, when I heard that, I'm like, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Did you guys all start calling each other?
No, I didn't, because they're in production on something else. And I haven't really seen them since I moved
back to
town.
I figured suddenly the text messages started flying, like, we knew it!
I did text a few of my friends, but they didn't seem to care much.
Oh, okay.
So the main podcast network I watch is called Badlands, because they're all about the news and events, not gaining followers.
Okay.
So they're very brutal and honest, and they had a field day with this because he was supposed to be interviewed on a show they do called Why We Vote, and then he was confirmed. His representative, you know, got the web address and the way to log in, and like 10 minutes before he canceled, and that was because this thing had just hit.
Oh.
And he didn't want to be asked about that stuff. Anyway.
Because when did this all come out?
December 9th, two weeks ago.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know what to make of Mr. Byrne these days. I mean, he was a nice enough guy, but like I said, it sounded too good to be true. And
yeah, but actually the things... Okay, so there's... It's kind of like, okay, all of a sudden it turns from a one-track story into a two-track story because now suddenly you have parallel truth.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that you guys represented in the documentary still did happen.
Yeah.
Because you had to verify it all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't like you weren't peddling fiction.
No, huh?
It's
no,
just
is,
that...
It was what was reported in the news. Anyway.
Right. The reason it
but
was happening...
it was also stuff that he wanted you to know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Exactly.
It was rolled out. On purpose, yeah. I mean,
but you verified that the things really did take place.
Oh yeah,
so the Russia
yeah.
collusion and
yeah. oh,
you know
yeah.
all that kind of stuff was real.
Well, Michael Flynn told us all about that.
But it was being orchestrated by the CIA if Patrick Byrne really was working for the CIA.
Well, yeah. The way he puts it, he kind of figured out, and then this is right before he went underground, he figured out that Obama was the one pulling all the strings. And you and I were talking during the break. I mean, Obama came out on 60 Minutes when he was leaving office. Like, yeah, I think I'd do a third term if I could sit in a bunker somewhere and...
And just be a puppet master.
Be a puppet master, yeah. And that's kind of the going theory, of, you know, for Biden.
Yeah. So. Well, God knows he needed a puppet master or he would have just been a... Yeah, somebody had to hold the strings up, otherwise he, yeah. A lot of falling.
Yeah.
Yeah, every now and then they let go of the strings, and well, we all know how that worked out.
But I know we might need to take a break here in a minute, and I'm just going to tell you the song
the fun killer.
Is going to be a little extreme, but right on brand, and you can hear the lyrics. It's Metallica doing Stone Cold Crazy, originally by Queen.
Nice. All right, you're listening to We the People, and you can find us at
wethepeopleradio.us.
Not the Maria Bustina soundtrack? Different?
Yeah.
no. So we're going back to research. We decided we better tell you because, you know, there are a lot of people who'd like to find out what's going on out there. And when you are tasked with doing research, well, we've already proven Wikipedia is a fairly faulty source,
yeah, exactly.
Although they are fun for the broad brush and 40,000 foot view as long as you double check.
Right. It's good. Wikipedia is a good place to start.
It is.
It'll lead you to the actual truth, you know?
Right.
Well, alleged truth.
And it'll flag up some things where you go, I'm thinking not.
Right.
Far as you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, far as you know.
So I was going to share with you guys some of the tools that I use to do research that are not well known by the general public, but that anyone can access.
And I have posted those online, by the way, so the secret's out.
Excellent. The first one is actually very easy. It's a search engine called Yandex, Y-A-N-D-E-X. And when you go to most search engines like Google or Yahoo, your recommendations for like a subject matter, maybe car insurance or dogs or whatever, you're going to get 5 pages of people who have paid
sponsored ads
to be aggregated to the top of the list. Well, on Yandex, this is a Russian government search engine.
You're not going to have to make a docuseries about us if we put this online, are we? Okay, good.
So it's a Russian search engine, and it's owned by the government, so they don't have any advertising. So if you want up-to-date information, you can do the search by the most recent information or the most popular information. So that's where you can find actual real web results. So it's on Yandex.
Hmm.
Then there's another site. It's called Webpage Archive. And this is good. Now, this is kind of a hack, but you'll understand why in a second. When I was finding all those news articles and documents and things like that that are in the documentary, you would go to places like, you know, the Wall Street Journal or New York Times, and when you bring up the article, they'd give you a paragraph and want you to pay for the rest of it.
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
And so with archive.com, or I'm sorry, Webpage Archive, you can put the URL in that the article's behind the paywall, and it will archive it, and you can then read it without having to pay for it. And that's a very handy tool.
And so what you sent me was archive.ph, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. The actual website's called Web Page Archive.
Okay.
And then this last tool, this was invaluable, and I'm going to have a little fun with it. It is called Intel Techniques, INTELTECHNIQUES. And this has a number of tools that you can use to get information about people, like their Twitter account, emails, usernames, addresses, and telephone numbers.
Oh, wow.
So I just put in Aaron's telephone number.
Mm-hmm. That's everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm probably not the best example.
And so your page, obviously Bill's on there. Do you currently live?
I've roped Bill into my madness.
Do you currently live on a street that starts with the letter F?
We do.
I can see that address. Did you once live at a house where the street name began with the letter H?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm clicking on your current residence. I can see it's three bedrooms, built in 1998. What the estimated value is.
Can you see Hamlet and Lou looking at you at the slider?
I can't see that, but I...
Can you tap into my vacuum cleaner and drive around the house?
Oh, that's kind of spooky because a lot of that information we work very hard not to publish it.
Yeah. Well, this website is based on information that's readily available to the public.
Right, sure.
Right.
You have to buy a house. You know, when you take out a power, you have a power bill.
Yeah.
And you have there's all sorts of stuff that has your information on
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It doesn't have things like social security numbers or arrest records.
That's probably a lot easier to find, though. I mean, really, because you can pay for those.
Yeah. Well, there is a paywall here with this one.
Chinese have it all.
But this is giving you a lot more information. There's even a map pointing to where your house is.
Nice.
And I got that from your phone number. So,
That's terrific.
Those are the kind of tools I would use. So, for someone like Patrick Byrne,
yeah,
I did actually have his phone number because I was driving him around for a couple of days. And so, doing the research, you know, I put his number in and go, oh, did you know that he lived in this place for four years? You might want to check into that and what he was doing there. Once again, all completely free and legal to the general public. But, yeah, when you start going down those rabbit holes...
Yeah.
Some of the tools you can use get kind of...
I'm moving.
Yeah.
It's too late.
I don't live there anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So
wow.
I just did want to bring that up because...
No, but that's great because, you know, the thing is, a lot of times people wind up in the absence of the ability to do a good search, right?
Yep, yep.
And to get good data, people will believe anyone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm constantly having somebody send me something on, you know, did you hear about this or this? And, okay, a lot of times you can read it and go, seriously?
Yeah. No,
very
true.
Come on. But, so there's that. But the other part of it is people would a lot of times like to do their own research, and this would give them tools for that.
Well, I mean, I use it a lot when I'm on a group text and I don't know who I'm talking to, like plug the phone number in. Oh, it's Bob. I put him in my phone. You know,
What? That's super handy.
Yeah.
You know, okay. How many times do you get these text messages? Oh my gosh, we haven't talked in a long time.
Yep.
How are you doing?
Yeah. I've
and I'm
used
always
it
like,
those. Yep.
Nope.
Yep.
And I mark them spam. And then someone's like, you never responded periodically. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Now I feel bad.
Work for $600 a day from home, that kind of stuff.
Well, that, I'm pretty, if it involves a Nigerian prince, like I'm all, you know, no.
Yeah, totally.
But there are a lot of times when you do kind of need, you do need to find that out. So which one was that? That was the Intel.
IntelTechniques.com.
Intel Techniques, and I'm going to put a little note after that that says, find anything from just a phone number.
Yeah, it's a good tool. I mean, sometimes it doesn't work, but most of the time, gives me what I'm looking for.
Okay.
It gets you pointed in the right direction to do other research.
For sure.
Interesting. And so did you have to file like a bunch of Freedom of Information requests in order to put things online? Oh, we never talked about the document.
Oh, yeah. We can do that really quick because we're running out of time.
I know.
Yeah, in the documentary, Patrick Byrne talks about being given a special letter and it was basically that he was untouchable. And I have the clip, so I can play that, and that will explain things. Here we go.
Paragraph spoke to the Judiciary Committee's concern that, quote, systemic corruption is infiltrating the federal institutions of our national government. And the second paragraph opened with the words, the United States Senate Committee on the Judiciary requests that Patrick Byrne be afforded extraordinary latitude under the laws of the United States of America to pursue his investigations into corruption within the government, or something like that. One of the rare moments of my life, I can honestly say, my fuse may have been a bit blown for a second.
This isn't a pardon, so you can't kill anybody. But short of that, this will make it unlikely that any prosecutor will ever touch you.
One of them told me that this had not been done since World War II.
Yeah. And,
wow.
That's when he started putting it together that these operations or whatever he was up to were coming from the highest authority in the land, and that would have been Obama.
And at that time, he knew he was working for CIA?
He knew that the FBI and the CIA, yeah, were giving him marching orders, but in retrospect, he was CIA now that he came out and told the country. So,
yeah, which, I don't know, what do you think that, what's the impact of that on the documentary?
That's a good question. I mean,
do you think that makes people want to go watch it?
I have no idea, because if you're watching something presented as not being an agent,
but then you find out later that they were,
it kills the believability, I think. But still a great story. And like you said, all these events actually happened. So
I've watched it like in real time, because that's what brought this all up, is you were saying, oh yeah, and the guy that we did the documentary about just came out and said he was in the CIA.
He doxed himself, yeah. Now there was one thing, and I can't remember if you talked about it in the documentary. He did, in the interviews, did communicate that, he and Sidney Powell and, General Flynn met with Trump the night before the January 6th incident and to warn him something was going to happen. But I don't think Trump was that naive. I think he knew ahead of time. So maybe that was just a cover story to go meet with him. But, I mean, I've got the selfies of Patrick and the general and Sidney walking into the White House.
Well, and that's also why he said we're going to go down there and peacefully, you know, whatever, all that whole thing.
Yeah.
And then lately it's been kind of all over reminding people that they cobbled together two clips and took 54 minutes out of the middle.
Yeah.
Where it basically said, like, we're going to go storm the Bastille.
Yeah, pretty
much. That was never the program. All of this is a big smoke and mirror.
Yeah, no, it's...
But the funny part is, it's almost like these guys that try to commit these crimes, and it's like, hey, dummy, there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah, no kidding. Or...
So, like, we live in an age when these things can be known. So a lot of this isn't as easy to do as it was a long time ago.
Yeah. I mean, if you have your phone on you...
Yeah, you're doomed.
They can look at the GPS.
Well, apparently, if we have your phone number, we can know everything, too.
Yeah, exactly.
We can just go over your house.
Yeah. Any last question? I know we're running out of time here.
Okay, so how much, what are you doing next? Do a little shameless self-promotion here in the last minute.
Two podcasts starting in January. One, the Axe to Grind, I'm rebranding. That's where I interview people I used to know in the music business. And then... I'm doing a live podcast called Hard to Watch. It's about movies that are so bad that they're hard to watch.
We'll give you some material on that. Bill chooses those on a regular basis.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at pinning those
down. Yeah, Bill can zoom in on those.
But
anytime.
I'll have guests on each week. They pick a movie, I pick a movie, then we talk about how bad they are.
Nice! Yeah. That's actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
Huh. You should call it Cinema Trainwreck. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Nice! And are you doing that here? You're doing it online?
Doing it online in Reading in a studio.
Okay.
With actual three-camera setup and...
Oh, it's got visual.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. So it's kind of like an interview show.
Snazzy.
And I know we have to go out, but I do want to play a little bit of this song.
Yes, please.
Because Patrick Byrne is pretty much the garbage man in this movie. It's Homer Simpson singing about being a garbage man.
Nice. And you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Who can take your trash out? Stop it down for you. Take the plastic bag and do the twisty dingy do. The garbage bag.